We are, if I get my voice back, yes, Tom Baker, Law and Gospel, on this Insight Wednesday, June the 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. By the way, those of you who signed up for my list at lawandgospel101.com and then took a look at the email I sent you, gave you a free copy of the Athanasian Creed with Bible verses, also had the opportunity to buy every broadcast of 2015 for $12. Those are now done and are being sent out. So you should receive them pretty soon. And what you do, I sent with them a calendar, a 2015 calendar, and Monday is normally the readings for the following Sunday. Tuesday is the hymn for the following Sunday, the selected hymn. Wednesday is Insight Wednesday. Thursday is Ruminations, a lot of times with Wes Reimnitz. Tuesday, by the way, is with Mark Smith. And Friday is Open Mic Friday. And so by taking a look at the calendar, let's see, you want to go through the Wednesdays where we had insights. Well, it's right there, and you just click on the particular date. More information is found in the DVD that we are sending to those people who requested it. Okay, what's today's Insight Wednesday? For a while here, I've been talking about how many times when the laity attempt to answer a theological question, they commit idolatry. And I made that point because a lot of times when you hear a theological question, your old Adam wants to respond rather than your new man. So I kind of left out pastors who are supposedly trained in theology. But today's insight is, guess what? We pastors also make errors. And I'm going to talk about the errors that I have made here on KFUO. For 19 years, I've been on the program, and I think I made two errors. Well, maybe there were three, but I can think of two. One of them came to me last week in a letter sent by Mike, and I want to read what he says. On your Friday, May 27th broadcast, you said that Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land because he struck the rock twice when he should have only struck it once with his staff. Well, I did say that. And Mike corrected me that that really wasn't accurate. Moses was not allowed into the promised land because he struck the rock twice instead of once, but because he struck the rock. Now, how I didn't get that when I was going through the seminary is beyond me. But what I want to do is show you, and this is kind of a rational reason why I made the mistake, because I absolutely remember from the movie that Moses struck the rock. Well, guess what? I was getting mixed up Exodus 17 with Numbers 20. Did you know there were two occasions, Exodus 17 and Numbers 20, where water came from the rock? Let me tell you about the one from Exodus 17. The people of Israel are in the wilderness by the commandment of God, but there's no water for the people to drink. And they quarreled with Moses, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with some of you the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. Behold, I will stand before you on the rock at Horeb." That's Mount Sinai, by the way. "And you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And guess what? That's exactly what he did. He struck the rock. And see, that was the one that I had in mind. So, why I thought that Moses was not allowed into the land of Canaan because he struck the rock twice, I'm not really sure, except for the fact that Mike helped me by pointing out Numbers chapter 20. See, the first time he struck the rock once, and that was at the command of the Lord. But now we go to Numbers 20. Now listen how different this is. This is not in the land or in the wilderness as it was in the first time. Moses and Aaron, and I'm reading from verse 10 on. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of the rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, now listen to what the Lord says, "Because you did not believe in me, therefore you shall not bring the assembly into the land that I have given them." Whoa, 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 whoa. How striking the rock twice means Moses did not believe in God. Well, remember what faith is. Faith is always its object, a promise from God. This is really important to understand. You hear a lot of preachers today talking about you can do anything if you have enough faith. And they're not talking about biblical faith. They're talking about, do you have enough faith in yourself? It's really ridiculous. It's not faith in yourself, even with the help of God, that you can do anything. That's not what saves you. It's faith in the promises of the gospel. And the gospel is very narrowly defined in the scripture. The gospel includes the promises about Jesus' death, resurrection, and also his ascension. You have promises that your sins are forgiven. You're wearing the robe of righteousness. It is trust in those promises that saves. And that trust, of course, that faith is even given by God. So what's the promise that Moses did not believe when he struck the rock twice? How are you going to figure that out? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. Going back a few verses, Numbers 20, verse 6. After the people are once more complaining that they have been brought into this wilderness and there's no water, now this is a different occasion. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother." Okay, see, up to there, taking the staff, that sounds like, you know, he's going to have to hit the rock again. And this is where I got the idea that he hit the rock twice instead of once. But for some reason, I was not paying special attention to the Bible. Listen what the next words say. "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord, as he had commanded him. They gathered the assembly before the rock. And Moses says, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me. Wow. You see, he was told to speak to the rock, and he did not. He struck the rock twice. My error was thinking that he struck it twice instead of once. No, even if he had just struck it once, he wouldn't have believed in the Lord. I mean, how many times you go up to a rock and say, bring forth water? No, just doesn't happen. But in this case, it did, or it would have. And because Moses disobeyed the Lord, because he did not believe the promise, he was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. So I want to thank Mike for correcting me, which brings me to one of the insight points today. I got an email from one of our listeners who was having conversation. I had once made the point that the sheep judge the shepherd. And he was wondering, where were my Bible verses for that? Well, I ended up sending him 7 pages. It was actually an essay written by C.F.W. Walther. He was the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the mid-1800s. And guess what? He was talking about how the sheep judge the shepherd. What does that mean? It means that when you hear a pastor, a shepherd, or even a teacher speaking his interpretation of the Word of God, you are to check him out to see whether or not he is correct. Many a pastor has been removed from the ministry because they are false teachers, and they were removed by the laity. In this sense, we're kind of following what Paul did with the Bereans. He was showing them that Jesus was the Christ, and he did that on the basis of the Old Testament passages. In fact, both at Emmanuel Olivet and Trinity Orchard Farm, Emmanuel Tuesday mornings at 11 and Orchard Farm Thursday nights at 7, we're going through some 350 passages from the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament about Jesus. And that's how you prove to someone that Jesus is truly the Christ, by using Scripture. Well, the sheep judge the shepherd. I've said this on the radio a number of times. If I ever say something you disagree with, you know, phone me or email me, and if I cannot find the Bible verse to back it up, then don't listen to me anymore. Because guess what? I'm a false teacher. So I really appreciate that from Mike. And then I went ahead, and this week, I made another error. This was in a Bible study. We were talking about when the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and it was crossing a river, and a gentleman, one of the Levites, the cattle stumbled, and he went to make sure that the ark didn't fall into the water, and he touched it, and he died immediately. I said in the class that that occurred when the Ark of the Covenant was being taken over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And there were 2 individuals in the class who said I was in error on that and that I needed to be corrected. Well, they were correct. So I want to show you there were 2 occasions when the Ark of the Covenant was going over a river. The first one is found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 8. Well, that's the second one. See, here's the other problem. The first one is actually mentioned in a book that follows Joshua, namely 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. Okay, so I was thinking it was crossing the river into the Jordan, into the Promised Land. No, This is when the ark was brought to Jerusalem when David was king. You know, by the time they went into the promised land, that was, you know, something else. David gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And he was going to bring the ark of God up to Jerusalem. And the men carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. And then it even names the people who were bringing the ark. Now listen to verse 5 and following. And David and all the house of Israel were making merry before the Lord with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God struck him down there because of his error. And he died there beside the ark of God. Wow. So it appears that they were carrying the ark to its new place. They weren't even going through a river. And one of the men was afraid that it was falling over. And guess what? By touching it, he was going against the will of God. Now, did he go to heaven or hell? I believe he went to heaven because he was a believer and he made a temporal sin. You don't go, hell is not the place you go to for the consequences of temporal sins. Hell is the place you go to for unbelief. It's a huge difference. And that was David. So this is after the people got to the promised land. Well, where's the passage about them getting into the promised land? That occurs in Joshua. Now, obviously, Joshua is before David. So chronologically, this is the one I was thinking about. And let me read a portion of that. Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out to go over into the promised land. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here, listen to the words of the Lord your God. Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you. And then he names the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all these others. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. Very close to the Red Sea crossing. In other words, when the Ark of the Covenant went into the Jordan, the land became dry, and all the people were able to cross over through the Jordan on dry ground into the land of Canaan. And here I'm thinking that was the time when the Levite touched the ark and was put to death. No, it wasn't. That occurred much later when David was moving the ark from one location to another location. And one of the men touched the ark when the cattle stumbled, thinking it was going to fall over. You know, I find that really interesting because it's a good example. It doesn't matter what your motivation is. If you're going to do something against the Lord, wow. And we have teachers today who appeared to have a motivation that sounds good. Like, we don't want to say anything that's going to upset the congregation. We don't want to disturb the congregation. We don't want to get people angry at us. And so what? Well, I think that is a good principle to follow if you're talking about something that's not theological. For example, if you're putting in a new rug and the pastor wants it to be red, but the congregation wants it to be blue, guess what? For the pastor to insist that it be red or else he's going to leave the congregation would be an error. That's wrong. But if the pastor is not saying something that needs to be said theologically, he's not speaking out, for example, and there are pastors who will not do this. They won't speak out against abortion, gay marriage, things like that, because they know there are people in the congregation that are for that. And they don't want to split the congregation. Guess what? Their motivation, from their point of view, might be good. They don't want to split the congregation. But it's still sin. Because we're supposed to speak the whole word of God. The point I'm making today is when you listen to Long Gospel, or you listen to any of the programs here on KFUO, if you hear something where we have made a mistake, please let us know. For Long Gospel, we will correct it. Now, over 19 years, I'm sure I made more than two errors. There was another one, but I forgot what it was some time ago. And then, of course, Mark Smith is always correcting me on all kinds of things. So we're here to serve you, but you better be judging us by checking out the scripture, because eternal salvation is at stake. If I were to say, by the way, we need some money here at Long Gospel in order to stay on the air, which is true. Therefore, if you send me $500, I guarantee you that you will go to heaven. That's not true. So, always check out the pastor. Always check not only what he is saying, but sometimes what he is not saying. Jesus was crucified not often because of what he said that was necessary, but what he said that the unbelieving Pharisees thought was unnecessary and contrary to the word as they understood it. Yes, our Lord and Savior, he died because he said things that people could not stand. So thank you, Mike, and others. Those in the Bible study this past week where I mentioned about taking the ark over the Jordan where somebody died. No, that was not correct. Appreciate that. Tomorrow, we're going to be with Wes Reimnitz talking about what? Rumination Thursday. We're going to have a topic that we believe you will find of interest. And on Open Mic Friday, any questions you have or corrections, you can call in and let me know. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.